Ladies and gentlemen, be upstanding for Laura Tingle. Welcome back, Laura.
Hello, Philip. How are you?
Let's start with the A word, accountability and Angus Taylor.
Oh, well, they're both A words, really, aren't they? Angus and accountability. So we've had a week, really, of the Labor Party focusing on Angus Taylor and what he has or hasn't done regarding poisoned grasses in his electorate. And it was looking, as this week began, like he might be in for a bit more pressure because there was a push on to get a Senate inquiry into exactly what he'd been doing and saying in terms of possible interventions in Environment Department investigations of poisoning of said grasslands, which are, of course, now in his own department. But in the Senate today, Corey Bernardi voted declined to vote, shall we say, Philip, in favour of an opposition motion for an inquiry. So that's all gone a bit kerfuffle. And the question of the poisoned grasses and things remains probably unresolved for some people. Angus Taylor made a statement in the House of Representatives saying that he hadn't done anything wrong, that the representations he had made about the restrictions on poisoning native grasses were actually made on behalf of constituents. They in no way reflected his interests or those of any companies to which he was associated.
Laura, we'll return to other parts of the accountability story, but was the Crown Casino the elephant in the room, so to speak, during question time? Because neither the government nor the opposition mentioned it.
Well, there was a question, as you rightly say, Philip, about it, but it wasn't from the government and the opposition. This is a story which is quite extraordinary. Even allowing for the rather sort of breathtaking 60 Minutes promotions about the story that would rock Australia, it is an extraordinary story. Nick McKenzie and others from Nine Media, which is what we used to call Fairfax Plus Channel 9, have done this really quite extraordinary series of reports. And they keep putting new ones out. Tonight we learned that a serving Border Force officer was providing security services to a slightly dubious Chinese character. We've got suggestions that visas for high rollers were being facilitated at a very expeditious rate. Now, Scott Morrison was asked a question about this in the House today and gave one of those answers which really doesn't tell you anything except it was vaguely to suggest that, don't you worry about that. We know exactly what's going on and it's all fine. But this is a story about a lot of very powerful Chinese figures, including the cousin of President Xi coming to Australia. There are suggestions that there's all sorts of strange things going on, including money laundering, that Crown has these associations with Chinese triads and with the Chinese Communist Party. I would have thought you would have got a little bit more attention in question time about it than we did, and I don't think the story's going to go away.
We can rest assured, of course, that James Packer had absolutely nothing to do with it. In fact, I think he said that, hasn't he?
Well, he said that he hasn't been involved in any active way in the company for some years and has only been sort of essentially a passive investor, hasn't really been involved since 2012. But whoever is running.
Can John Alexander make the same claim?
Well, I don't know, Philip. You've got me on that one. But I think whatever the story is, I suppose my immediate interest, frankly, is in the sort of role, shall we say, of the government in this. They're the ones who are particularly accountable. Corporates are also accountable, but the suggestion that people have been getting visas, the suggestion is that ministers were lobbying to assist people get into the country quickly, that there was a hotline to get visas granted quickly. That's the stuff that I really want to know about in the first round, but that's just probably me being in the Canberra bubble.
Barnaby Joyce reassures us that he's not skint. but that he has empathy for people living on Newstart. Is the government responding to this quite extraordinary outburst of empathy?
Well, Barnaby Joyce is finding it hard to support two families on his much reduced salary, which has gone down to around $211,000 a year now that he's no longer Deputy Prime Minister, mainly due to his own actions, we'd have to hasten to add. Look, it's interesting, Philip, this story about this pressure to do something on Newstart just keeps growing. It's now more or less right across the Nationals, from Barnaby Joyce's rather extraordinary expression of empathy for people on Newstart, because he knows what it's like being on only $211,000 a year. But it's now across the Nationals, everybody from John Howard, Arthur Sinodinos, Dean Smith, Labor and the minor parties, of course. And I don't know that the government can resist it forever. It's just starting to look ever so sick. So the question is, in these sorts of circumstances, politicians and governments always sort of find a bit of a dogleg manoeuvre where something else comes along which gives them the excuse to change positions on this. Now, I suspect that the reality of this is that if they actually concede ground on this Newstart position and actually make it something slightly more likely that people can live on, that is the surplus out the window, because they've already spent quite a lot of it on other people who are apparently much more needy, according to the government. So I think at some point they're going to have to concede on this, but I think the fact that you've now got so many conservative people saying you've got to do something about Newstart, along with business, when you've got a situation where the economy is not all that strong, and one thing we know about people who don't have a lot of money is that they end up having to spend most of it just to get by, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they get around that one.
Laura, a note has just been slipped under the studio door saying that you want to mention robo-debt.
Oh, yes, robo-debt. And this is called shameless self-promotion, Philip, on one level. But Paul Farrell, my colleague at 7:30, and along with producer Alex McDonald, has been doing some really good stuff about robo-debt, which is, of course, this rather splendidly hopeless system that the government's got in place, which is where they match what you report to Centrelink against what the tax office says that you've earned in any particular given year. Now, the problem with that is the tax office records might show that, for example, as tonight would show, Philip, I get $300,000 just for appearing on the program tonight. But then you're going to sack me afterwards, so I don't get any more money and I go on to Newstart. But when you get annual figures from the tax office and you try to line them up against weekly income figures that you have to give to Centrelink, it usually doesn't add up. There's a computer program that matches all these figures up in a fairly haphazard fashion, and then sends letters to people saying you owe us $6,000 or $7,000. They don't tell you when this debt was incurred. Even it might have been 6 or 7 years ago. You don't know exactly the circumstances in which you were overpaid or declared your income. And the report we had on 7:30 tonight documented cases of one young man with an intellectual disability who has subsequently died. Centrelink has been after his mother for the claimed debt. You just think about the difficulties of actually sort of dealing with this. And often the debts are actually eventually sort of excused or wiped off, and they say, oh, yes, a terrible mistake. But the processes by which you have to clear your name against an allegation that you have raised a debt and incurred a debt, it's impossible, and often it's for people who do have intellectual disabilities or other problems. And the government, Stuart Robert, the minister, came on the program tonight and basically just said, oh, everything's fine, and just ring Centrelink, it'll all be fixed. Well, I think anybody who's dealt with Centrelink will tell you that's not true.
Laura, thanks for that. Laura Tingle, Chief Political Correspondent, 7:30.